Joining us here to discuss the economic implications of the war in the Middle East is Achilles Larrea. He's the head of Larrea Wealth Management in New York City. Achilles, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ted. Nice to see you, John. I hope everything's going well with you both.
Thank you. Welcome back.
You guys, you guys buy the same shirt? Is it, what's going on?
It's a good
shirt. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous, Ted.
I am jealous. I'm going to run out to the store immediately after this. Okay, so Achilles, it's great to see you. So, look, obviously you've been following, you follow the markets. That's your job. My first question is, are oil's futures traders incredibly stupid and naive to believe anything that Donald Trump has to say? I mean, he'll say, well, we're going to get out of the war. The market, the oil prices go down, stock market goes up. Then he said, well, then there's something that seems like it's going to be prolonged. It goes the other way. I mean, aren't these people supposed to be making decisions based on what they personally believe is likely to happen?
You know, they trade on information, guys. What you see happening right now, they saw a while ago that could have happened. So you place bets on it. And you place those bets in the hope that that happens. If it doesn't happen, you hedge your bet and you get yourself out of that position. But if it takes off, I mean, if you look at, there was one of the hedge funds they were talking this morning in the journal, up 31% just in a very short period of time. All right. And this is not unusual. This is something I see all the time, you know, with traders, that there is a reason why they make so much money on a personal and on a entrepreneurial basis, because you are risking capital every single day of your life. Kind of like that live by the sword, die by the sword. I think John could appreciate this.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, so going back to what we're talking about, you know, it is not the oil's at 110 or so a barrel right now. It's not the now that they were focusing in on. It was back when oil was 70 plus bucks, and that's when you needed to be in. You know, so people who are trying to hedge this right now, it's, you know, you're kind of a Johnny come lately. If you're an investor, you're like, hey, I'll get into oil now and, you know, let me make some bucks. Yeah, you might make a little bit. You might make your 2-3%, but you're not going to make 30%.
Well, may I ask you about that, Achilles?
Yeah, absolutely.
If there are hedge funds, and where this is all that they do, but we're in this odd position now where gold and silver and copper, frankly, are at all time highs or near all time highs. Crypto is flat and people don't fully trust it. We've missed the oil run up, as you just said. I totally, completely agree. So then in a situation like that, where you can't even trust bonds, what's the hedge? Where would hedge investors go in an odd economic, like global economic situation like this?
John, I think that we're two factors short of a black swan event where nothing works. But I will tell you this, anything that's blue chip, and you got $150 billion in capitalization, gives you options. And those are the kind of companies that we're owning right now. We're going in and saying, we're not afraid to get back in the market. We're actually, I've been buying the last few days for my clients, and I'm not afraid to go back in. We're not making huge bets here because that's not the way I operate.
Right.
But if I'm adding, say I add 1.5 to 1.8% of a, you know, into another position or a position we already own, that's not a terrible thing. You know, my clients may not understand it while it's going on. But long term, now I'm talking about 12 to 18 months, and I've said this on other media, you know, 12 to 18 months, you're not going to hurt yourself by doing that. So getting into high quality names, blue chip stocks, or, you know, I mean, I hear about gold and silver all the time. And do you want to have a position in them? Yeah, you know, it's kind of like
5% maybe.
It's so less. Small. No, so small, John. You know, that let me tell you, if that really takes off and becomes the asset class, which it has at one point, but you know when's the last time that happened? The oil crisis.
Yeah.
You remember back in the
70s? In the 70s.
I was selling snacks and beverages on the gas lines when I was a kid.
You know, we were saying just the other day, Ted and I, my dad, remember, if you had like an even numbered plate, you could buy gas on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and an odd number plate Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. My dad used to be out there all the time. Yeah, there were exceptions.
If you were a salesman, my dad was a salesman traveling around the country, and he could go anywhere, any day. He wasn't restricted. So you did have that restriction.
Right. My dad used to go out and switch the license plates every day, depending on which car needed gas.
Your dad has my soul. When I had a car my first year in college in New York, and I got tired of alternate side of the street parking, so I stole someone else's license plates whenever I wanted to just park wherever I wanted to park, and then kick the ticket, throw the ticket in the back seat, and just ignore it. Wouldn't work now. I feel bad. It was a very bad thing to do because someone
Ted
got
was
my
a
ticket.
Rebel. Ted was a rebel.
I was an asshole. Yeah, I wouldn't do that now, but you know, older and wiser.
What are the two events that could lead to this black swan situation? Because I think, listen, you're the expert. I'm not the expert, but I don't see any short-term hope right now. If even bonds can't be where you go to park your money, you know, during this time of economic uncertainty, then what's left? It just seems like there's nowhere to go. And let me add one other thing. You just said something made me think of it. Are you looking for companies that are both blue chip and have large stocks of cash?
Well, every company that we deal with will always hoard cash during these times. So that's another thing to consider. That will give them a strategic advantage to become, you know, if you think about it, how did companies become dominators in their industry? They didn't do it by spending everything they had. You know, everybody looks at a Microsoft and says, wow, they're spending all this money on AI. And do you really think that Microsoft is spending all the cash that they have? Yeah, there's a bit of a cash burn there, but they can go and buy their next largest competitor if they wanted to. Yep. That's how big they are.
And
same thing with Apple. You know, these are companies that are dominators. They're going to continue to make money. There is a cult-like or a following that is still present. But in answer to your question, John, what I would say is look at gold. You know, if that starts to become the quote-unquote asset class, that's
then
one thing.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Another thing is if oil starts, you know, Iran talked about oil going to 200. You know, they effectively control the Strait of Hormuz, you know, and that is a big black eye toss, you know. And, you know, I'm not a political person by any stretch of the imagination, but I know he who controls something gets to dictate something, you know. And we, as big a country as we are, if we're not careful, how many billions are we going to be paying Iran for that control? It's not too dissimilar than the Panama Canal.
Yeah, it's a toll. It's going to be a toll. And they used the word just a couple of days ago with this Indian flag tanker taking oil to China. The Iranians let it through because they paid a toll and they paid it in yuan.
So we need to set up a big easy pass, like, you know, at the Strait of Hormuz and at the Gulf of Aden, you know, just for these tankers, just to make it easy. But okay, so Akhil, let's talk about the elephant in the room here. Are we heading into a recession or worse?
I think we're not at that point. You know, I thought about this morning. I was listening to a couple of talking heads the last few days, and they all kind of they're kind of tilting that way, guys. But, you know, I'm not convinced. You know, I'm super bullish when it comes to the market. And even if a bear market
By the way, I'm just seeing breaking news. Oil, the price of oil jumped, stocks sank in the first opening minutes of the market, opened just about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, no surprise. Trump did not do anything last night to alleviate the situation right here. A smart man, an intelligent man, would have tried to buffer, especially a politician. A politician would have tried to buffer the language being used right now, the rhetoric.
You mean like bombing them back to the Stone Ages was not the right, was not maybe the right word?
Yeah, you might want to temper your words a little bit, but obviously we don't have that in Mr. Trump. So, you know, what I would say to you right now, if you're an investor, you need to be strategic. You need to be moving in areas that, you know, look at the defensive areas, look at the technology areas, because those areas are going to be, it's not that they're going to lose less money. It's just that when we come out of this nonsense, and I believe this is firm nonsense, I think there are ulterior motives. And John, you could disagree with me, but I believe that there are, you know, ulterior motives behind this that are not being spoken of at this particular point.
All right, well, what do you think they are? I want to know what you think they are.
That's what I'd love to know at this point. You know, I always say follow the money. You know, who's making the money right now by oil being up, by gold being at all-time
highs? Yeah, all the major oil-producing countries.
Correct.
Saudis, et cetera.
Right. So I don't want to own those companies right now. I want to own the companies. But
it's a temporary juice, though, right? I mean, because overall, if oil prices go too high, you tank the global economy. You end up like during the pandemic when no one was buying anything, and then
end up in stagflation, you know, where nothing's growing, nothing's getting done. The, you know, Congress is still in a stranglehold right now. They, you know, the ruling party cannot even pass legislation right now.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of the worst bottlenecks I've seen in this country's history.
Well, the thing is that the Iranians are, so here's the thing, what Trump did was the stupidest thing that you can possibly do in conflict. He not only cornered his adversary, something that Sun Tzu always said not to do, always allow a graceful exit, but on top of that, he neglected to notice that his adversary had an ace in the hole, the Strait of Hormuz. And so now he's cornered an adversary that has to win, and has to win big. And so we're offering a ceasefire, but the Iranians need and want the whole schmear. They have to have, basically the U.S. has to surrender. They have to say, we will never attack you ever again. And not only that, we'll control Israel and prevent them from ever attacking you again. That's a big ask.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I think
but that's what the Iranians have to have.
Yeah, have I think this that. Is going to get prolonged out. But I also think that the Iranians at some point, how does this all get resolved? Yeah. Diplomacy has stopped many of the wars that have ever occurred, although the fighting will continue, but there has to start being some talking. And once the talking starts, it becomes beneficial. And, you know, they'll figure out a way where, you know, Iran and the U.S. will figure out a way where, you know, it's not just to everybody's benefit to stop this, but it to figure out a way where everybody saves face, including the United States. And that is the toughest part right now, because you can't see it right now, but it has to happen. So that's my take on this. Now, getting back to where we can make some more money is take a look at if you don't want to be in oil, may want to be in fertilizer. A lot of companies, you know, fertilizer, plastics are all derivatives of oil. So you want to have your hand in that. You don't want to be in the oil bucket or barrel.
You're saying the shit is the shit.
The shit is the shit. But, you know, like potash.
We've got to leave it there because we have to. We always enjoy having you on. This show will go on and we'll have you back for sure. Thanks, Achilles. It's Achilles Larrea, CEO of Achilles Wealth of Larrea Wealth Management. My apologies, in New York City, and always enjoy his insights.